podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome back to another episode of Touchline Fracas. It's been a very eventful week. We've got Champions League gist, we've got FA Cup gist, we got just general gist. We've got a great, quite a diverse selection of gentlemen in all facets. I'll start off with you, Babs. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm not going to make the joke I made in the previous one. I'm going to let that one slide. Let that one simmer until another time. We got Julian in the building.
Yeah, I'm hearing it.
Bro, you look so cool.
I'm just angry, bro. Like, it's not, yeah.
And the cheekiness and the confidence, which is quite unusual for this gentleman when it comes to football. Dr. Leroy from Touchy Goodness, how you doing?
I don't know what you're talking about, unusual, man. I'm happy. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy.
You are the complete opposite of happy-go-lucky. This guy is always stressed. This guy's like, interest rate, is it going up on you? Bro, it's all right, bro. Yeah. Right, but that's a story for another day. So we've got a great cast. We're going to start off with our game of the week, which is quite unusual because I'm not going to lie, most of us don't really care about FA Cup like that. Well, apart from this depressed person here listening to Summer Walker.
Yeah. No, I don't really care.
United versus Liverpool, right? So we've got Klopp on his fake ass farewell tour hitting a Kobe Bryant. We don't love him like that. Too fair, actually, everybody does love him.
I was going to say,
the
media love him.
Bro, just bare fist pumps. I hate him. Do you know what I hate, yeah? It's like, do you know at Anfield when things are starting to go good? Then he turns around to the crowd and starts fist pumping.
Oh, yeah, he gets crowd gas, man.
And then the commentators are like, oh,
But then when Arteta does it, everyone hates it.
He ain't got the minerals yet. That's
nah,
why,
it's bullshit.
I don't like this thing where because somebody has won, you're now going to pretend that the actions are completely different to somebody who hasn't quite won
yet. Bullshit.
When you have as much skin in the game as Klopp, when you have as much
equity, it's just because they like him and they like Liverpool.
Yes, that's it.
But he's an innovator. That's why. When you do it first, no one can chat to you.
No, he didn't do it first because man have been doing a mad thing before.
Man have been doing fist pumps since.
Yeah, bro, Jose Mourinho went all the way down Old Trafford sidelines.
And he's an innovator.
Yeah.
And if fucking Harry Redknapp started doing that, you'd be looking at man like,
Harry Redknapp's having a flipping aneurysm if he tried that. Stay calm, because. But I was going to say, I remember Klopp. Do you remember Klopp after Liverpool lost a game? He'll stick it on the BT correspondent about the schedule. I'm like, bro, he has stuff to do with the schedule.
Yeah.
Just bear shouting at him. So, yeah.
And no one got into him for it.
Well, didn't Klopp talk about the grass in one game?
Bruv, no one gets onto him for it. It makes me sick.
But yeah, anyway. So I can't wait for him to go. Good riddance. I hope you're not getting Momo Sissoko as your next manager. That'll be ideal. But let's talk about the game. Julian, it was a rough game. It was a wild game. 4-3. How was you feeling going into the game? What was your confidence on a scale of 1 to 10?
8, I won't lie. I wasn't really... if you want to be completely honest, I wasn't thinking too much about the game. It kind of felt like a fixture where... it just had to kind of be over and done with. I was confident. I did think we would win.
Yeah, and you have been kind of violent.
Yeah. See, I was like, come on, like, it's kind of been the writing on the wall. But even going into this game, I was like, yeah, it's fine. Like, nothing. United haven't really done anything to like make me feel like they can win. Like the last game you had against Everton at home, like you conceded like 20 something shots. I was like, it's fine. But yeah, the game, bruv, it was.
Okay, the lineup. Was you finding out obviously Salah was in the starting lineup? You had Salah, Nunes, and Diaz in midfield. It was McAllister, who I'm onto now.
Why?
Man talk too spicy McAllister, you know.
He's a very good player.
You know why this is? It's because we compared him to Enzo in the chat. Because
No. It wasn't even Enzo. It was Madison. I said, what? Are you
I wouldn't.
Right?
I wouldn't take it that. They're not even in the same like.
And they said that he's been better than Palmer. I don't like that.
Nah. Who said
McAllister?
That? McAllister. Who says that? Who says
McAllister?
Mushing them.
Anton. Mush, Anton.
What's Anton's beef with Palmer?
I don't know, man.
I ain't got
But I wouldn't say he's been better than
Palmer. Maybe because he's not really claiming his Jamaican heritage.
Enzo, he's better than Enzo.
I think he's better than Enzo.
Especially since
he's moved away from the number six.
Since he's come out from injury, he's actually been pretty good. Yeah. But before that, he was actually getting dunked on the regular.
I think it's because of that number six role that he was playing.
My beef with players like McAllister is, a bit off topic, is that because man don't really care about them, they only get highlighted when they play good, and then people pretend that this is a consistent thing. It's because man don't care about McAllister.
I personally think though, with McAllister this season, he has been quite consistent. I don't think
he's been consistently mid.
No, he hasn't.
He's been.
No, he hasn't. I think he's been one of our. Well, I think he's been our best midfielder this season, especially in this like after the 2024 part.
2024.
And even before then,
the season started in August. I believe 2023.
Yeah, and what we're giving him as well is a bit of grace that he was in a position that's not. I'm not going to say it's unfamiliar to him. But it wasn't his position.
Man, I said grace.
He was playing at DM.
Man, I said grace.
And he's still playing well.
Bro, all lives matter. Touch on fracas. Nobody gets grace, bro. Nobody gets grace.
And he wasn't playing bad at DM as well. He was playing fine. Like it was like even to the point
where he was exposed, but he wasn't playing terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
I'm not gonna lie. I saw Bam deadlift him.
No,
He was getting lifted today at the low ski.
I can't. You know, today I can't vouch for our midfield today. It was poor. Yeah, both midfields were.
You know what? Talk about what game did you lot play recently? City. Man, I was talking best spicy about this Endo.
Endo.
Man.
What?
I'm a cinematic. I had to. Man, was talking. Oh my god, I forgot this is a video. Man, we're talking kind of crazy about Endo because he did all right against City.
He did very well. Yeah,
because of that wash.
Top game.
Yeah, because KDB's washed now. And a man tackling.
Huh? That's
he's washed now.
Oh,
that's
he's washed now.
This KDB's agenda.
No, he's actually. Washed.
It wasn't just KDB then. No, against
no, KDB washed. Rodri.
Bernardo wasn't good either.
Bernardo wasn't good.
Bernardo always struggles at Anfield as well.
If I talk about Bernardo, yeah, they'll call me. Let me. Anyway, let's get back onto the topic. Yeah. So, how was your fan of the team, right?
Yeah. It was kind of.
I can't lie. When I saw the team, I saw Salah.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Salah's definitely scoring against us. That one, that's already plus one. Yeah. I was actually expecting us to get smacked. When I saw the United team, it was Wan-Bissaka left back. Mm.
oh, man.
Juan Escobar, you know. Wan-Bissaka left back, Dalot right back, Varane and Lindelof centre back.
Yeah.
A midfield of McTominay, Maino and Bruno. So basically one midfielder in Maino.
I knew what was coming.
Garnacho, Hoyland and Rashford. Like, man asked me why I want Man United to lose. look at these players, bro.
To be honest.
Who should I actually have love and adulation for?
Maino.
Rashford.
Rashford tests my patience.
Hoyland.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. Today, Garnacho, he was stressing Conor Bradley and Gomez at right back. I can't lie. He was very good today.
I thought
he was stressing.
I thought on the right-hand side, I thought he was pretty decent. I thought when he moved to the left, I thought he was shocking. The thing is, he causes chaos, but Matt, I don't rate the chaos. You lot know I'm a football purist. I don't rate these chaos ballers.
Mm. Yeah.
He's causing wahala, but when he gets the ball, what's he doing with the ball?
Mm. I get you, but I think you got a lot to work with him there in terms of like his actual attributes, like his pace, his movement in behind. He can strike the ball pretty well. I think
I like this. Coach, this should be on his LinkedIn.
I think when you get a coach that's going to be able to work with him directly, not saying that Ten Hag hasn't, I feel like you're going to get a lot more of him. It's a bit similar to Rashford, how like through those early years,
60 million plus add-ons, Eddie Howe. Yes, please.
There's something to work on with Garnacho.
There's something to work on.
I think he'd be a good Premier League player.
I don't like his attitude stinks. Attitude stinks. I see him throwing his hands up. I see him moaning all the time, and it annoys me. You haven't got equity for that.
Yeah, honestly, like there's certain players that do that I don't like. When I see Mbappe do that, and Mbappe, if anyone has equity to behave like an absolute brick, it is Kylian Mbappe, who's literally probably on like 400 goals already, something ridiculous like that.
Mm.
Not Alexander Garnacho.
Yeah.
With his veneers. Nah, come on, man. Anyway, the game. So as neutrals, I'm sure both of you caught at least some of the game.
I watched the game.
So did you? My impression was I thought United were the better side for large parts of the first half.
I think you guys were the best side.
And all of a sudden, United go in at 2-1 down. How do you see the flow of the game? Because I know you guys are both.
Babs, you start.
So early on in the game, I thought the best thing that Erik ten Hag has done of recent was that he had obviously Dalot inverting and helping the midfield. So because you guys didn't have an actual DM there that can help you in the build up, I think Dalot did a really good job there.
We had a DM there in theory.
Who? McTominay? He's not a DM.
Was he playing DM this game? Because he was just making
McTominay was playing the deepest, but you had a Maino picking up the ball. But obviously, so Dalot was there, and I think he did a really good job. And I think one thing that I would give Ten Hag early in the game was Wan-Bissaka's job on Salah for the first 37 minutes.
100%.
But I think the problem with that, though, was because Liverpool were pressing so high, you guys were, I wouldn't want to say riding a lot, because I feel like you guys did well in terms of baiting the presser, but after like the 37th minute, I think Wan-Bissaka takes a couple too many touches. He passed the ball to Bruno, and obviously that's where the first goal comes in.
I don't like you putting that on Wan-Bissaka because Bruno.
I agree. Bruno was too weak. I agree. He was too weak.
The guy gets the ball in our half under duress. it's a guaranteed turnover.
Mm. I agree. He was too weak, but I also think.
I agree. I
like when players play the ball quick, but I can't hold it against him because he's obviously playing on left hand side.
Left hand side, right hand side. Mm. He plays like he's wearing stilettos.
Yeah, so in terms of that first 30 minutes, I thought United, you guys did well to make it compact. One thing I don't like how you guys do is you guys press really high from them before, but then your defence sits off pretty deep. I think the reason why Ten Hag does it is because he trusts Varane in particular in terms of his box defence, because that's like one of his biggest attributes.
It's too much space.
But I think it's way too much space.
Way too much space.
And you're almost betting on the fact that Liverpool aren't going to take shots from range. Obviously Szoboszlai's known for doing that, but he didn't really get many. And
you're so right, we do it with every team and it doesn't make sense. And that's why the only manager that I've actually liked post Sir Alex Ferguson is Van Gaal, because he was tactically
very, very sharp too. Yeah.
Whether we like the players he played, whether he started like taking, I don't even know, Snus and started playing Van Persie CM and that, the team was always tactically set up extremely well. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so easy to get, like, if you have such a big gap between your midfield line and your defensive line.
This is the issue, man.
First of all, even against dead players, they're going to be able, they've got a big margin for error to find space and to get players in
because even naturally, when it's compact, you expect your 10 to find holes.
Let alone Premier League players.
Yeah.
That's what I know. That's what I don't really want there to be anything riding on the set. I think you guys come to Old Trafford the second to last game.
Yeah.
Mm. Because I can see Arsenal giving us a generational packing.
You won't play like that against us, though. I think you'll play a deeper block. I don't think you'll press us high.
I hope so. If we play how we usually do, everybody's midfield, I swear to God, like United, I've always said on Mugger, like every Premier League midfield, they circle United on the calendar, because that's the game where you get your performance of the season, you get your little spotlight on match of the day, and then maybe on Monday Night Football. Like, bro, everybody's on to us, even Cunha. Cunha was out here looking like Yaya. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you guys are both right. The spaces that we leave, that's quite similar to you. You don't leave
us. I was going to say, it's very, very similar to us. Mm. And with us, I guess you can give him more leeway because Poch had less time, but I don't think it's acceptable either.
It's not acceptable.
I don't think it's acceptable
under any level, because we've seen other managers come in with less time. And this is the Premier League, bro. Like, you can literally not give anyone. We would give it like Salah, Szoboszlai, McAllister, time and space and edge of the box. And then eventually Elliot got a goal. We'll start to talk about the goals from having acres of time and space on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we also did this man to man thing. We don't have the players that close big
distances.
In our squad, I think in terms of like midfield wise, literally, I think only Mounts can consistently close them distances. But he's not a good defensive minded player anyway. No. Bro's just running around. You get it. So we don't have the personnel to do that. And I don't think any other Premier League team does that, from my recollection. So I don't understand.
Especially at the top level.
Yeah, and I don't understand why we decide to play.
And you know what's weird? It actually feels like this is by design for some reason.
It is by design. You can't be doing it from August 2022.
It happens so often, even today, to touch on what Bab said, the amount of space that you're leaving in the middle.
Mm.
And I'm so, that's what I'm probably looking so depressed about, because like, we really, even after the 30, because United do this thing where they get a goal, heads drop. Even to be fair, they even kind of kept it going a bit after the goal. But heads dropped. As soon as we got on the ball, heads dropped and was like, all right, cool, game time. Was able to get two goals. I was like, all right, cool, great. Was able to take advantage of that. But then after that, it just felt like
we wasted so many
opportunities.
I think if we boxed another day, we could have got bland.
Yeah.
Because what I've seen good teams do against us is in the central areas, like, you manage to suck our players in balls. And then on the left and right is always
An overlapping
player, but he's in a great position. It's not like he's by the byline, he's on like the edge of the box.
Yeah.
Where, like, it happened a lot to Spurs yesterday, where the amount of times Iwobi got the ball and then there's somebody, Castagne or somebody else with the overlap, driving into the box. The amount of times you lot could have put Salah in a position to do something, or Salah did something silly, and Diaz, like, I think you were really, really wasteful. But let's talk about some of the goals. So who scored the first goal? It was... Oh, my God.
Hey.
You know what? Yeah, that's...
You can't keep getting away with this.
You know what? Yeah, it's moments like that, which kind of make me happy that he scored, because when Erik ten Hag's plan works, of McTominay being that last man running in and, you know, getting the goal, I'm like, thank you, because you're going to actually keep relying on this, and it's not sustainable enough throughout the season.
He has a knack of being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Again...
It's not easy to do.
No, it's not easy. It is a quality.
I know,
and he's a good finisher as well.
And I hope Eddie Howe, again, Eddie Howe, I know you got a plan for me.
I'm telling you.
I know you got a plan for me. That Everton stimulus package repackaged.
I know, we have to now move it to Eddie Howe, because I know he's got this PNP fuckball going.
Hey, Eddie Howe is going to have that guy scoring double figures and looking a madness. I'm telling you.
Do you know what would be very irritating to the United fans retrospectively complaining? But as long as I don't actually have to watch him.
Watch it for your team.
I hope
you keep him, man. Honestly, just.
But the thing is, not all players can do all things. Certain players are limited. That's fine.
Players have their strengths.
McTominay clearly has a use, in my opinion, and the right manager in the right system can get it out of him.
This is what I agree with. Before, I was very certain that he should be working at Odeon up until this stretch of play, because before he was doing midfield work.
Yeah.
And he'll have, like, those games where he had less touches than DDG.
Yeah.
He'd be playing centre mid. Mm. I think there's something I saw, like, one time you lot came and packed us, yeah. Henderson in that game had more passes at Old Trafford than that season, which is insane. But like hearing him doing this box crashing stuff, for a certain club, it could be useful, but not for Maya, so he needs to.
I think the issue is when you build your whole game plan around that and your midfield around that, that's where there's issues. Like today, you can kind of get away with it because we were equally as poor.
First goal?
McAllister.
Again, a shot deep into our own box. Do you guys think Onana should have done better?
I think it was difficult because obviously he's deflected off of Maino and he's pushed into the corner.
The deflection,
took a deflection off Maino
as he went up.
And even to talk a bit more about the goal, to even praise Liverpool, one thing, just in terms of talking about how Wan-Bissaka was doing that man marking job on Salah, one thing I think Salah did really well was he went to the touchline immediately.
Yeah.
And what that did is it allowed for underlaps from Gomez and Kwanzaa. And you had the first one where Gomez, he underlaps in and obviously he's chopped on Bruno, left in for dead. I mean, the second one where Kwanzaa's come in, he's been able to drive into the box. And obviously that's where the goal has come from. Yeah. So I think that was like what something really, really smart. And I actually had the question of, when you guys see these like in-game management, like tweaks, so for instance, Salah for the first 30 minutes, he's playing really, really inverted. Mm. I mean, after that, he's gone to the touchline to create spaces. Do you think that's come from the manager? Or do you think that's just a really intelligent player thinking, okay,
I'm not finding
joy here?
I would imagine people like Salah, and the way Liverpool are coached, they have, like, I think it's just kind of natural. But I wouldn't be surprised if Klopp said something.
Yeah.
But I'll probably give the nod to the players because they're very smart, intelligent players. And they've played all types of teams, trying all types of ways to stop the attack. But I thought, even though Liverpool really wasteful, I thought Liverpool created so many dangerous opportunities.
Yep.
I saw it came up, they scored 119 goals this season.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. I don't think United have scored 60 or 50. No.
what, 119 goals?
In all competitions, goals.
That is a madness.
Jesus Christ.
But it's what, 2 months left of the season. Bro.
I think the issue is with, especially our team, is that I think we can get complacent with the fact that we can create chances. And at a place like Old Trafford, where literally you're in the game and you're seeing yourself get so many chances, we kind of get a bit lazy when we get to that final part, and it's really annoying.
There was one particular counter, I'm not sure what the score was
it, the Gakpo one,
was it 2-1 at the time? 5-1-2
it was the Gakpo one, and that was another example of where those massive gaps in midfield to leave your defence so exposed.
Listen,
I don't think I've seen a 5-on-2 in a
you see Gakpo, can't lie. He's been here for about 18 months now.
When the Liverpool fans are dunking, I'm not saying, you lot are broke, we slapped your head for. I'm saying,
you might can have that.
I need to hear about Gakpo, please.
I'm not going to lie. Mike Edwards is going to be our new sporting director, or director of football, whatever,
Was he there before?
Yeah, but he's come back again. So.
Where did he go?
Obviously, remember, he left because Klopp had a bit too much control. You know, he wasn't listening to the transfers. Yeah. They had a lot of disagreements. Like the
is this the same
contract
club that what Julian Brandt and Gotze instead of Salah?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would have told Norbit to shut his mouth.
He was the same. I mean, that's what he's done.
Yeah, he left because he was like, you're giving guys contract extensions like Henderson, it's like it's not going to work. Like the vision I have for the team and the vision you should have for the team is to kind of excel anyway. But when he comes in June or whatever, you know, when you start work at new, like, and you get an induction pack, item
one,
sell Gakpo. I don't care where he goes, 20 mil at least, minimum. That's all I want. Ajax are struggling. Gakpo, you know what I mean? He plays like he's waved. He plays in slow motion.
The way he plays, I can't set on cap.
He's not fast. He makes poor decisions. He's weak. But he can't dribble. He excels at nothing. And I don't understand
He's very good technically.
Is he?
Yeah, he's very good technically.
I'm so not sure, you know.
He will look good. He will look good. He can strike a ball.
Yeah, he can strike a ball.
I've been saying, I said this before when I scouted him, and I say it because people were asking Gakpo to come to Arsenal. I was saying, the guy don't press. No. The guy don't run. He's not intense. He's not good in duels. Oh. He's not good. He's not going to battle. How are you going to have this guy as an attacker in the modern day in the Premier League? It's not happening.
Bro plays like, do you know them light skin fitness models that are vegan?
Oh,
he looks like he should be on Love Island.
This is our first lifestyle footballer.
Sharon, listen that. Bro plays like he's vegan, fam. Man's got no vim or velocity in his game.
No vim at all.
And it's the complete opposite.
I know, imagine you're better having a card than that, bro.
It's the complete opposite of what you expect from a Liverpool attacker.
Yeah. I know.
And he's not composed.
Compared to all, because the rest of them, they're actually all on demon time.
Yeah.
Jota, Nunes, Salah, Diaz, like, bro.
Even Elliot.
And the thing is, with all our
Diaz is now Diaz is playing like he's not even free, bro.
He's trying to get the man still.
Bro. I think he must have got a ransom note or something because he's been moving ever since.
Bro, when I saw him moving to Walker, I was like, bro, your dad's in the state. He's good. We've left the hood now. We're good. Daddy's safe. Daddy's even an influencer now. You see him at the top.
home with Pet.
Is it?
Yeah, he's got pictures, bro. He's out here. But the thing is, the thing is that knows
like, I respect to that. If your son was a footballer, you're telling me you would have been moving a bit crazy.
No.
I'd be like John Morant's dad.
I have too much shame, bro. Let me just stay in the background, fam.
Yeah. You wouldn't be like John Morant's dad? Huh? Like, just John Morant's dad.
I hate John Morant's dad.
Just with the lean cup at the side of Old Trafford.
Listen, I'm over the lie. If I saw Nunes' dad, they're like, when you move around, come on, man.
But the one thing I was going to say about Gakpo as well, compared to other attackers, is that other attackers have deficiencies, sure. Like, there's something wrong with all of them.
Of course, in
one way or another. But they at least, like, if they're going to come onto a game, like, even Harvey Elliott, he'll come and I think, okay, I'm going to see some crosses. I'm a big fan of him as well. The one thing I would say about him is that I don't like how he starts game. Like, from he can come on and make an impact in the game when there's kind of tired legs, but when he starts games, he kind of struggles to get into it.
Do you think he has the athleticism to be in the final third?
I think
because he's got a lot of technical quality, he's got a lot of ability.
I think he's more of a middle third player.
Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say.
I think he's going to be of that Bernardo kind of mold, where maybe he's not as athletic, but his technical ability can get him far. And as he grows up, maybe he can.
Would you have him as a final third player on the right wing? Like,
I don't see him starting. You know, even now I'm thinking if he was to, like, for example, sell Salah, I wouldn't be like, all right, Elliot, you take the right wing, because I don't think he has that intensity yet.
Exactly. So where would you see him developing? Because he's clearly got the ability to play at the level. Where would you see him developing in a Liverpool team?
Ooh. You know, because I think we're a club that's going to be able to play a lot of games, like, during the season. So I think
man saying he ain't going to play.
No, I just don't think he's going to start. I don't think I don't
anywhere.
I don't think he's going to start. I don't think he can play right centre mid.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Even right centre mid, like, would that, like, Szoboszlai, I'm not going to lie, this season, I haven't been too impressed with him after his first couple of games. But
Mushed, he's like your new Gerrard.
You're going to chat to Mush, innit?
Mush said that.
Mush says a lot of stuff.
Mush said what he's doing isn't normal.
Listen, you're going to have to chat to Mush because I'm not Mush, but
you're Mush's lawyer, in my opinion.
You
don't know what happens, yeah? If you represent your club pods, you answer for all their crimes.
Right.
This is the ICJ, yeah? You're the lawyer for Cop and Frackers,
I'm going to be on the RICO case. Like, but with the thing is with Shabazz, like, at his best, and what I've seen of him at his best at Liverpool, I would rather have that version of a right centre mid than what Elliot would offer at their best.
No, I understand that.
And ask a question.
Go on.
Why was Maynard doing your boys like that?
I can't lie, Maynard, man.
Maynard.
That boy. His chain is real.
Yeah.
You know that video of, like, the old guy, the diamond tester, and he just, that was what man was trying to do with Maynard today. And
he was sourcing.
Sourcing, man.
Player, man.
Like, we United are very fortunate that almost every cycle they bring out somebody for.
How do you guys do it?
I don't know.
Good academy.
Very good
academy. You know what?
It's so interesting because I spoke with, I'm going to call him our secret scout. You guys know he works in the game, and he was talking about how, like, certain clubs, they just do such a good job of having hubs. So for instance, United, you guys are the hub of the north of England. So your ability to, like, find talent at a young age is so elite that you guys are going to get these guys at a really early age. And that's how you have that stories about Chelsea, where, like, all the guys are there from 8. So you guys have got them there.
But apparently we're losing our source of it because
City's coming in.
Yeah, really, Palmer and Foden, they had opportunities.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah.
And obviously they went to City for obvious reasons. But yeah, we are so, like, he's such a good footballer.
He's got
athleticism, he's got composure. Mm. I don't like when he was playing deep early season. Yeah. But I know I've seen this movie before. We did it with Wayne Rooney, we did it with Pogba. Anybody with because we're very devoid of composure and ability in that area. So by default, anybody who's got a bit of composure can see a pass.
You want to put him in the deepest
position. Because when we got a man like Casemiro, hot potato. That's another one of my W's.
Yeah.
Hot potato is a completely different. We have Maynard, they're on the ball.
Mm.
But obviously, off the ball, obviously you see people run off him and stuff like that, but you're not utilising his talents.
Yeah.
And we saw some of his talents on full display. And
it's true. And there's one thing I love about him, and it's like, when I watch youth players and you see them come into the game, I think the best youth players are the guys that have audacity.
Mm. Yeah.
So what made you special in the youth game is what you're bringing to the table in the senior game.
Yeah.
You're not melting to the pressure.
Nope.
You're playing your same game. Like, it's like, for instance, like even Palmer this season, you saw what he'd done in the youth game. He's done it straight away here. And Maino as well, he was a brilliant midfielder. You saw him in the UEFA Youth League. You saw him in the Prem Division 2, and he's doing the exact same thing he was doing there in the Premier League against Premier League players.
I think the best thing about him, for me, is he's a special technician, for me.
Yes.
For a midfielder, ball to feet, everything's minimal actions, one touch, two touch. Nothing's sloppy. Sloppy, and I really he's going to go far.
He's going to be very, very good at 18.
It's actually kind of scary when I think about it.
What I'm excited about is that fact that I think England need a player like that.
Yes.
I think they've got Declan Rice, unfortunately. Like, he's that powerhouse dual monster DM that can play enough.
He'll
get there. He'll learn.
Because I remember you were saying to us that Declan Rice is somebody that adds stuff to his game. If you told me Declan Rice had been on corners, I would have been like, you're high. Man is putting in arrows from the corners, you know?
Even free kicks are turning, set piece free kick.
So like, I could see going forward, and another player, I really like Curtis Jones. I'm not sure about other people. I really like him as well. Yeah, I really like Curtis Jones.
Good player.
Yeah, so I think England have really struggled with people in that middle area that can take the ball, that
high touches,
athletic, tight touches, move the ball quickly. And I think that's exciting for England. But anyway, so Liverpool winning 2-1. Salah, of course, gets his customary United goal. We're missing attack after attack after attack.
Yeah.
And who scored? Oh, it goes into extra time, right?
No, Rashford. I think it was Rashford that got
it. Didn't he go to extra time? Was it 2-2 at full time?
Yeah,
2-2 full time.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Extra time, 3-2, Harvey Elliott gets a deflected goal. As we were saying before, a symptom of United always leaving areas to get shots. And I'm thinking, okay, good, we're muddied. Like, it's been fun. We're muddied.
What did you think of the keeper on that goal?
Do you know what?
It was deflected, but that's like, that's a little dinosaur arms, bro.
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. And that's what I'm speaking to the keeper. Onana, today, done well. I can't lie. It should have been a pasting today. I think he actually kept you lot in the game pretty well. Onana,
but some say like, obviously, like compare it, I know it's hard to say, but compare it to Alisson, like, I don't think like half those goals go in. Like, two of those goals, I don't think the Mikasa goal goes in with it. Alisson, and even though it took a deflection, I think Alisson gets to the other one. I'm not sure. I'm not saying I want to blame him.
You can't blame him because he got a deflection.
But then again, I think this is why, like, stylistically, tall goalkeepers are ideal. Man's 6'2", but he's got the arms of like a 5-year-old.
I also think after a while, Onana naturally gets a bit tired from like the amount of goals he has to save, because with Alisson, he has the luxury of not getting so many chances conceded.
But then again, he has to have the higher concentration to be ready when
he's just a better keeper as well. There's that too. But Onana, like, he was,
I'm not gonna lie,
he was
when Elliot scored, I was so happy. And I even said in one of my group chat, I said, unless Rashford and Mart score, I do not want to score.
Boy, look what happened.
And then I can't lie, when Rashford scored, I was gassed. I'm not gonna lie.
That was a really good finish.
I don't know who Ahmad robbed. But he robbed quite
Do you know who he robbed? He robbed Harvey Elliott on the edge of the box. Garnacho's obviously carried the ball. And one thing I say about Garnacho is that I think he passed the ball at the right time as well.
No, that was McTominay.
Was that McTominay? I thought it was Garnacho for the Ahmad.
No, I'm talking about.
Oh, it's about the Rashford goal. Right. Yeah, the McTominay waited past. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, because I thought he gave it to Ahmad.
On the wide.
McTominay, and then Rashford touched.
And he's broken the line. Rashford, that was a really good finish as well.
Yeah, very good finish. After missing 2-1, even though he was offside, we still missed it. Endorphins, okay, cool, it's Rashford. Added to the big goals game. Yeah, cool. That's enough for me. But now, okay, penalties. As long as none of the black boys miss, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was thinking. And obviously, it's a corner, and I'm preparing, I'm looking, getting ready to come to the pod, and I'm seeing counter attack. I was saying, Garnacho, you better pass this fucking ball to my boy right now.
That was good from Garnacho, man.
Huh?
I
don't think that was good for him.
You don't think so? I thought he passed at the right time.
Watch the goal again. He's actually a bad pass. So, because what happens is that, like, he made the right decision.
Yeah.
But he passed it a bit behind Ahmad.
What Ahmad did
was he faked something which bought him some separation.
And he dragged the ball
from who was it? Bradley?
Yeah.
And then he buried it.
Yeah.
Hold tight, Ahmad, man. He's fasting as well, bro. For you to do that on an empty stomach, yeah.
That was a dog before, because all he was doing was winning headers and jewels.
Yeah,
bro.
I was really surprised by the.
No, but this is why United fans got angry at Ten Hag.
No, I know he's a good player. I'm talking about the aerial.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you've watched in the few games Ahmad has played, it was a big contrast from the likes of Sancho and Rashford, who shirk duels 24/7.
Yeah,
and I never thought I would care about stuff like duels until...
I told you.
All right. You're right. Until I'm watching everybody else's guys...
Jumping out, yeah.
Man are jumping out tackles.
Mm. Yep.
Mm.
And this is not Power League where, okay, bro, man's got a big meeting tomorrow. Like, let me not get hurt. You're getting paid good piece.
You're getting paid good piece.
So Rashford and... Ahmad does not do that. He presses eagerly. He tries to win the ball back. Obviously, he's 5'2".
But today you saw
at amount of times, like, even one of your counter attacks where you could have.
Yes, the header towards the left hand side where I think it was Gakpo.
No, not even that one. There's another time when I think it might have been 3. No, it was 3-3. And then it might have been 3-3 or 3-2. Nunes has got a counter attack.
Yeah.
And it's like 3-on-3 or 3-on-2. He's taking too long and Ahmad came and strips him.
Yeah.
Which is obviously poor for Nunes, but. That's the type of things we never saw from Sancho. We never saw from Rashford. So United fans just assume he's a young player. He's 5'2". He weighs about 40 pounds. Like, they don't think he's physically ready. But I completely disagree.
Mm.
Because he's got the intensity and the hunger to play.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that he got his moment. And obviously he got sent off. But that was kind of gangster.
That was worth it, man.
That was kind of gangster.
Could have blown up, but it was worth it.
I'm not going to lie. I was praying they weren't going to score because then they would have smoked
him. Yeah, they would have smoked him.
Yeah.
They would have smoked him.
It's funny because in one of our group chats, I was hyping everything he did. I was like, oh, Ahmad Jewel. I was moving like
German. And you were right to as well because he came on and started.
Stop starving, bro. Ferdinand and Bernardo was talking to him. That was my moment. I said, see, they know that he's a baller. Seb said they thought that he was a ball boy. Like, oh, stay. but anyway, good game.
Mm.
Exciting, but hold that, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you're sad and that's enough for me.
Mm.
You mudded. McAllister mudded.
McAllister's goal.
He's mudded. I've got my eyes on him now.
He was decent.
He's in big trouble.
He was good today.
He's in big trouble. He's in big trouble. That little fake ass Argentinian. Man's from Aberdeen, man. I don't even know how Messi allowed that shit to slide, boy. Anyway, that's enough. We're going to speak about Chelsea Leicester. Mm. I watched this game today, Babs.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, man.
Yes,
I'm so sorry about that.
I'm not going to lie. You guys know that I'm player first, right?
Yeah.
And I don't like fans going to players.
Yeah.
Even me, I was booing Sterling.
Oh, man. Even me from home.
I was like, boo! Boo that man! Boo! Sterling,
You can't do that, man.
No.
Hey, he's one of us, man. He's one of us.
I know he's one of us.
You can't do it.
But today, he's been mad selfish.
Very selfish.
I can recant three times. He's 1v1 of the keeper. Do you know when you're 1v1, but spotted to my man.
Aston Villa, Wolves.
West Ham.
Newcastle. Today, with the penalty. Yeah,
he took a penalty off Palmer.
He tried it once against City, if you remember. Yeah, and obviously Enzo steps in and was like, let him take him. And he's obviously done it again today.
He took a free kick.
Yeah.
But I've never seen that
trajectory. To be fair, I will say he's good at free kick.
That's cool.
But that run up was a bit crazy.
I have never seen a ball take that trajectory.
Yeah, that was.
Sam was saying in the group, like, Sterling's under pressure, so he feels like he's got to bail himself out. So I understand why he thinks like he needs a goal.
No,
do you feel like it's just because the fans are abusing him? Fans are getting to his back. Fans are turned on him. He needs to do something to try and change the.
I get that, but his general level of performance has just been. The base level has just not been good enough.
I completely agree with your point, and that's why he's doing it. But I think it's bare selfish because he's going out of his way.
Yeah.
Because obviously. But the thing is, like, even the 1v1 chances, those are assists.
Those are assists.
And he got a very good assist today.
Yeah. When Palmer.
Yeah.
When he's headed it past the defender.
Nah, I'm sorry.
And he squared it, but.
Hey, Sterling just have to hold that today. That was difficult.
Yeah, it was really, really poor.
Your team is actually. I don't think is enough to be spoken about. Because, okay, cool. You sack your manager. Okay, get another manager. You sack him.
Mm.
Now you have Lampard. Boom, boom, boom. New ownership. Oh, my God. what did they say? You had to get rid of Abramovich. Ukraine might not give him money to for Modric to buy guns and that. They literally said it. They literally said, Shakhtar Donetsk literally says, we are giving money to Zelensky to go buy burners, bro. That's what they said. Zelensky literally went to go buy burners, bro. That is peak money laundering. They made Chelsea sell to Boehly. Boehly went to give them my money to give back to the other governments to buy burners.
It's a bit shady. It's a bit shady, but...
But look, you can't have two seats like this in a row. As a top
I agree. No, I agree. I agree.
You are so bad that people don't control you. That is
I'm with you.
So
are you damning. Though? I'm with you. I agree. But the season could still be saved to a degree. To a small degree. Nah, there's still a small chance we can get 7th or 6th. Because we're only a small...
How's that?
And I agree, it's not good enough. I agree, it's not good enough. But that's where we are right now. You know, Poch has taken us to such a level whereby if we get 6th, that's progress.
Let me ask the question.
I agree, it's not good enough. I agree. I'm completely with you. I need to ask
someone who watches Chelsea week in, week out and is not just dumb or like just annoying. With Chelsea, are you that bad?
No.
What do you think of your team? Just like, obviously, remove the fact you're wherever you are in the league and stuff. Mm. When you watch your team play football as a football team, just give me the rundown. Like, what's the problem? Like, are you that bad? Because when I watch you, I only dip in and out of Chelsea.
Yeah.
But you don't look that bad to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, like what, where I feel like you say we do a little bad is the individual quality that we have in our team. So for instance, like you have like the Carney goal today, we have him and Palmer. Quick little
you've
steps. We have missed him a lot because what I've been saying with him, right, he's a connector. So he's someone that's going to connect the midfield to the attack. Whereby Gallagher, what he's done is, Poch has him there as like a pressing guy. What he's done, he's not really there to play on the ball. But what you want in a 10, you're going to want a lot more on the ball quality. And that's what Carney offers us. So that's one thing you're going to see in terms of the quality. And then as well, like you also have the Nonny goal. You know, he's obviously shifted it past and he's put it in top bins. Even Jackson, I think Jackson's a really good footballer. Now, this is when you think about the fact this is his first season starting fully as a striker. Mm. You look at the way he's played. You know, look at the way he's developed his game. At the beginning of the season, aerially he was terrible, absolutely terrible. But recently, you know, he scored a header against Aston Villa, for instance. He's getting a lot better aerially. He's able to play against centre backs now and actually take it past them. You know, bring his teammates in. So I think that's quality in the team, and I think that's where you'll see good.
He's still violently erratic in front of
him. He's very, 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 very erratic.
It's going to be over for him.
And it obviously comes down to a lack of experience. And I guess he's blessed by the fact that there's not a striker ahead of him. Mm. So he's actually able to just play through the bad moments. Mm. But in terms of where I think the problem is, I just think it's Poch. The way he sets us up, right, is so similar to United in the fact that we play a bit of like a mid, but then our midfield is almost like pressing up with our attack. So there's such a big gap there that doesn't help off the ball. And on the ball, if you look at our build-up, right, for instance, early on in the season, it was obviously he had Gallagher playing as the deepest midfielder and he had Enzo playing more as like a second striker. That in itself is a problem because you're not utilising his best attributes of progressing the play. You also look at the things like, for instance, okay, let's say you do want to play Colwell at left back and you want to play Enzo in that kind of midfield role. He had Colwell for playing as a literal fullback.
Actual left back.
He was actually running up and down the wing.
And bro can't run.
He can't run. If you want to play something like that and play him a left back, you can at least tuck him in to the midfield and help there within the build up.
Yeah.
I think his biggest problem is the way he's actually profiling players and is how quickly he reacts to changing them. Mm. I think one thing Arteta's really good at is when he sees a problem, he changes it as soon as possible. Whereas Pochettino, he's watched his problem obviously this season with Cole when he was like, okay, let me just keep playing it. He played Chilwell at left wing.
And the only reason why he stopped doing that is because he got injured.
Mm. He continued the Enzo experiment as a second striker for so long.
But the thing is, in his defence, I could see the rationale because obviously, initially, the way you're not playing, Chukwuemeka was in that position.
Yes.
And it was really good, right? So I think obviously Nkunku hasn't even been here, he's been injured.
Yeah, he's been injured. Yeah.
Palmer, he's on the right-hand side. So if you're going to play somebody else in that position, the only person that has like maybe the technical ability, the vision, the touches to do that is Enzo. But Enzo is in, as much as I like Enzo, to play in that area of the pitch, he isn't even good enough for that. Like, if you look at the best players who do, like, if you look at the Fodens, Odegaards, Madisons, but not, if you see how quick and sharp the decision-making and the touches are in that area, BBW Enzo can't really do
that. And you know what? You said that it's fair, but where I disagree is I think he's had games this season where he's playing in that left-hand space. So, for instance, against Arsenal, for the first half, like he did a good job there. Mm. Against City, at home in a way, he did a good job there.
And the confusing... The you're saying, he did a good job. Yeah. Right? Like, he is better than a good job type player.
Agreed.
He's better. Agreed. Enzo, and I even looked at... I'm not sure this is a bit of the advanced stats. What's that website? Data MB. It shows, like... players like their profile,
their profile, yeah, yeah.
And I compared Enzo from last season this season.
Yes.
And
such a regression on the ball.
Such a regression, yeah. Because when he was playing with you like last season, he was like the 80-100 touches guy.
Yeah, that's the role Potter had him obviously playing.
That's what you want. Yeah. Enzo,
and that's what you want.
And that's where he could derive value for Enzo in terms of his composure in the first phase. His line breaking passes. He could dribble a bit. Do the boom, boom, boom. That's what
I'm with you. I'm completely with you.
But I think your issue is that. Your profile as a midfielder a bit mad. So you've got Caicedo, who plays like he's always just eaten. Yeah, it's been enough.
I think he's been better in recent weeks. In totality, it's been very nasty. What I'll say right with him and Enzo is, I'll say the reason why I wouldn't say they've been good is because it'll be a disservice to their ability. If that makes sense. Yeah, it's been alright, but I think for what they can actually do, I don't think it's been anywhere near.
Yeah,
good
because literally. We seen Caicedo at Brighton.
I remember just that. Even last season, we saw Enzo even on the Potter, and you can see the difference.
I actually thought Enzo was good, but I don't think obviously you lot were muddled. You lot had no reason.
I was
actually only watching you just to make sure that Meads doesn't catch. So that's the reason why I watched Chelsea, literally for that reason alone, right? But and then Gallagher, who is your captain for every reason. I don't like the way. I think he was pretty good at the start of the season.
Yeah.
When he was deep because he had a job of going to. Shut down spaces, win the ball. Yeah. He was good at that. But now you're playing him as like
as a 10,
first presser. I think you're almost
you lose so much in the field,
and then you lose. He's just ego pressing.
Agreed.
I'm not even sure he's ego pressing because I don't think guys. I think it's
the role that Pochettino is giving, and I think that's what he wants from his number 10, and that's really really worrying. And at a top level, you can't afford to have a midfielder just being on there for his off the ball ability in terms of just pressing. I think with the return of Carney, I think it can be massive, but I just don't trust Poch to
bring
him. Because the thing with Poch is that, for instance, Mudrick, he has like the best of season, but when he's played, I think he's impacted the team. And when he's done
Mudrick
that...
should have been Ben Sterling, I'm not going to lie.
Whenever he's come on, he's scored a goal, where, you know, he's assisted, he just gets benched straight away. He just gets benched straight away. And I think it's taken Poch quite a long time to try and integrate him a bit more. I think one thing I'll give him credit for was that he's playing Mudrick in the middle. Because I feel like when you play Mudrick out wide, I don't think he's got the ability just yet to be able to make those runs, whether it be outside or inside of a fullback.
I don't feel like he's decision making on the ball. Like he tries, like when he stands people up, I don't think he hasn't displayed the ability to consistently get past them or generate.
And the thing is, he has that ability, but I just don't think he's figured it out yet. And I don't think a coach has sat down to actually say
he needs a lot of work. But yeah, there's a player in there.
For sure. And I think once he gets down the art of deceleration and accelerating past defender, I think that's going to be a massive thing.
Yeah, because his burst of speed is
so peak.
Game changer.
Like, for instance, that Newcastle goal.
That goal was brilliant.
It's crazy.
Because
you can literally see, like, he's taking decisions like a second extra when the defenders can even react. But as you were going to say, sorry?
I was going to say that. But at the moment, the way he plays out wide, he kind of runs his defenders. He can't get his position. But I think it's worth trying to... If you're gonna play through... other players, like you, if you want to give Colwell a gazillion games out of position, you might as well try that with Mudrick. Right now, Sterling isn't exactly putting up any trees.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Really and truly, if it wasn't for Palmer's exploits, you'll be in even deeper.
Agreed.
And I think he's been...
I think he's been
what
fantastic,
do you think
man.
Of, Julia, what do you think of Cole Palmer? And are you surprised at what he's been doing so far?
I think he's an absolute talent. I really, really like him. And what I like about him is his attitude. The fact that he was able to tell Pep, basically, I'm not going to stick around and wait for my opportunity because you say so. And go to Chelsea, a top team as well. As much as bad as Chelsea are, a top team, and actually be one of their be their best player this season. Actually,
facts.
And the stats, away from the stats, like he's done well. I think he's on a double double this season.
Yeah,
Barcelona.
Five pens.
Lewis told me six. So let's Lewis is a liar.
And what's impressed me the most?
Five pens in the Premier League.
I think it would probably take one in the cup. But even still, like that aside. I'm just looking at the numbers aside. His ability,
yeah, so good.
Yeah, I don't care about the numbers.
Yeah, his ability and the way he impacts games, I just have to respect it. I really have to respect it. Like, even today, I don't think he was amazing, but
yeah.
his how decisive he was, for instance, in that goal.
Yeah,
I was going to say the same thing.
The ingenuity to just, and one thing we were discussing right in the Discord is, for me, right, I feel like the best final third players, the players that when they're there, it feels like they've got like an extra second, if you get what I mean. Like, for instance, Odegaard against Porto, it felt like he had all the time in the world to get on the defender and play that pass in. Palmer and Carney, those two players, I feel like they have that ability in the final third, and I think it showed in that goal, because
that goal was sweet, man.
Brilliant, because in those games against a low block, you can't have guys like Gallagher there. You have to have players like that who can make quick decisions and can impact the game.
Yeah.
Like
that. What was you going to say?
No, I was just going to say the same thing, because I think it all comes from his mentality, because he'll make a lot of mistakes in the final third, and he'll do a lot of things that you're like, oh, no, not great, but he's a killer, like, and proper Asbo kid, he doesn't really care.
He actually doesn't care. Even the celebrations.
I don't care. He rates himself. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of people with that mentality really, how do I describe it? He sticks a knife in the final third. Mm. So he's very dangerous, and he's very impactful. That's the word I'm looking for. He's very impactful in the final third. And I think that's all because of the mentality he has and how he plays the game. And you need that in the final third, because he's the type of player who will change a game for you, who will break it open, who will take onus, who will take responsibility. So even though I feel that there's, because I see some mad tweets about him, but I feel that they're better players. Like, for me, Foden's a better player. Foden's more, he's got more ability.
I think Foden's a better player. I think this season,
and Madison, better. I think Madison's a better player, but Palmer's got that. He's just got that X factor, and it's that mentality. He's going to go far. He's going to go far.
And the fact that earlier audacity, he has it.
And the fact that it's his first real like season, and he's doing this, that just goes to show like, you can build a team around this type of
character. I want to ask you guys a question, because I was having a disagreement with my boys, Anton and Dems. I was like, I think City kind of took an L with letting him go, because I don't think Foden really suits being on the wide areas. Mm. I think he's cold.
He's going to look good.
He's going to be productive enough in those positions. I think we've seen Foden in the middle of the pitch. That's where he's been getting a cracking this year. I think I don't like City's wide options at all. I think Doku's very up and down, but I think that's all right.
It's expected for
his age, because of Doku's dynamism, you can live with that. Mm. Grealish. Alvarez, I think Alvarez is a
waste. I think he's wasted that word, man.
Yeah, I think he's somebody you want in central areas, getting as many shots off as possible.
Thanks.
And I think the way Pep, like, he wants his wide players to stay wide. Mm-hmm. I think Alvarez is somebody you kind of want inverted.
He's put a square piece in a round hole.
When Bernardo's out wide, Mancho's doing that ball retention. I'm not going to lose the ball. My soft score will be 8-0. Fuck off. Like Palmer, I feel like he would have given them an extra dynamic of some, because literally until KDB got there, they were really struggling through games. KDB's the only one that has that, as you said, the killer in that instance where I'm with the ball, I'm going to play this pass.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get this shot off.
Yep.
Everybody else is very much ball retention. I think they kind of missed out with a player like Palmer. And I think 45 million for Chelsea,
that was a snip.
It's an absolute bargain. You lot do still do stink though. I'm not gonna lie.
He's quality,
brilliant, but my God, he got put in a blender.
Yeah, but do you know what's so interesting? Right, for that goal, he didn't. It was like the defending wasn't the best, but I feel I want to give more praise to the attacker for what he's done to finish it.
No, of course, but we've seen Gusto literally put bear man in jail.
Agreed.
So to see,
and he had him in jail until that moment.
Yeah,
but
to see like that. I'm not sure how much you guys have watched Leicester this season or remember them. Yeah.
Mm.
If Leicester are going to come back up, if they're playing that Sice, Vice
and Vestergaard,
they shouldn't even unpack. You're going straight. Bro, Sice is the worst, pound for pound, the worst defender I've ever
met. Remember that game?
Was it last season against you guys,
where you had the own goal?
All-time stinker.
I'm telling you, bro, because I literally watched Leicester a lot because of Madison.
Yeah.
That guy is a double agent, bro.
Yeah.
He's a double agent, fam.
Vestergaard as well. I don't know.
Vestergaard, his thing, like, he's just a fridge freezer.
Yeah, he's just too slow. You know the Jackson one that you always give him the little shimmy, but he just ran past him.
Bro, by the time Jackson played it to Cucurella, Vestergaard just about turned. So they can't bring them two up to the Premier League, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There's no point. They're going straight back down, bro.
Even to talk about Chelsea a bit more, I think one of the things that's really shocked me is it's been our build-up, man.
Mm.
Like it's just non-existent.
That's not good.
It's absolutely non-existent.
I think it's a sign
of very, very bad coaching.
But I think bad coaching doesn't even do it a service. It is horrific coaching.
That's why I defend. Obviously, you know, I'm a fan of Enzo. I think he's a quality player, and I'm a fan of Caicedo, not as much as Enzo, right? I'm not gonna say that you guys are rubbish players because one, they're still young. Two, people could have bad seasons as well. But like, I can see they clearly got quality.
Yeah.
There's no way all these men just think.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But when I watch Caicedo at the moment, a lot of the things he does, I'm looking at and thinking that's just bad individual quality. That's just bad individual action. Just a bad touch. That's just like some of the passes.
I agree with the touches.
Like, come on, man! Like, there's no way you were playing like this last season.
That's individually.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's okay. And that's why I think it's different to Enzo because with Enzo, I'm just seeing man like I'm like, bro, you need to go fitness first, cause like who was it? The Liverpool game in the cup final. They were breezing past, bro.
Yeah.
You said it, but the thing is, both midfields were getting run through. That was just a basketball game.
Yeah, but that was a basketball game. Asper used to give Enzo a bad day, bro.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. UEFA Champions League. So we've had a draw now. Arsenal, they've got their arch nemesis, Bayern Munich. Muller's laughing, sending messages. He thinks it's sweet.
I'm not sure if he knows the old days. The first time he played was like 2013. It's 11 years and man's still jogging at the. Yeah, not jogging, but he's still playing at the top level.
Everything I hate about society. I despise him. But I had man telling me that he was better than Neymar.
I think the funniest tweet I saw was somebody said he's coming there thinking he's going to play against Mertesacker and Koscielny.
Yeah, bro, you don't understand. This Arsenal's not the same one.
It's a physical Arsenal.
I'm literally praying to God for the history.
I'm praying for the heritage.
So, man, we've got definitely my favourite Arsenal person to listen to, despite the fact that I do despise him, and we have our own beefs.
Yeah.
Dr. Leroy.
Yeah.
So, we were having discussions about the Champions League game. Obviously, you played 120 minutes on Tuesday, I believe, and you had obviously the first leg where you lost 1-0.
Yeah.
And it was a very tight game, but it wasn't a good performance.
Mm.
So, take me through your assessment of the tie. And do you think it's indicative of anything to do with your players' lack of experience or is Europe? Or do you just think it was that Porto just did well where you guys just didn't rise it?
To be honest, like a lot of people are saying like, oh, we played badly. I think a lot of credit has got to go to Porto because especially in that first leg, that guy must have watched every single game we've played that season three times. Mm. He knew everything. Mm. They knew about our corners. Our corners are brilliant. He studied every single fucking corner and knew exactly what was coming.
That's just brilliant coaching.
Honestly, brilliant coaching. Yeah. Not just the corners. He knew exactly how we build up in the right half space with Odegaard and Saka. Mm. Honestly, Conte Styles a prick, yeah? But he did an amazing job on us. So I think a lot of the reason the game was... It didn't flow and the game was basically a stalemate was because of Porto's quality and the quality of coaching that went into that game. Mm. They knew exactly how we play and they stifled us in every single way.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people saying we just play back. I mean, I do think there is a little thing because we lacked a bit of bravery. The players, especially in the first leg, were shitting themselves. I could see that. All of them were shitting themselves and they shit the bed. There was a lack of... Everyone was taking an extra touch. Everyone was taking slightly too long. People were a bit reluctant to play through the lines and play forward and play the brave passes that were necessary, apart from Odegaard in both legs. Odegaard was top man in both legs, but that came from... That's from the defence.
So people were scared to play the lines. Does that include a certain...
No, it was... The main person who I thought was a bit scared to play through the lines was Saliba, in my opinion. I think Gabriel took responsibility.
Him, though, in general, though.
Yeah, but that's... But Saliba was... You could tell he's like he was nervous
because I can't lie that
he was nervous.
That was the first time I've actually looked at Steven. He looked very
100% nervous, 100% nervous, and it wasn't like because people were saying about the things he'd done defensively. It wasn't that for me. It was just like, bro, you one touch through the lines all the time. This time, an extra touch, sideward pass. Mm. It was a bit worrying, but I think one thing that surprised me about Porto was their intensity and athleticism. That Portuguese league because we had the same against Sporting last season. They can run. And physically, they were all up to it. But the reason I thought the tie was a stalemate is basically due to Contessao. I think he did a brilliant job and I think he knew everything about us. And I think he coached the blinder. Even in the second leg, we had every game this season, apart from maybe Chelsea away, Fulham, in my opinion, Chelsea away and Fulham, I think we've controlled. Mm-hmm. I think we've had complete domination and control. Even if we've lost, even if we've drawn, we've had complete control. And Lonzo away as well. But we had no control over that whole two legs.
I want to say in the second leg, you guys had a lot more control than the first. And you guys were...
Maybe second half. But the first half,
we didn't. First half, yeah.
First half, we did right. not. They took it away from us.
And I think Wendell... I think he done so well against Saka.
He had him in Azkaban.
And also Pepe.
Aggressive, yeah.
All-timer, man. That is, at 41, to pull off a performance like that, that kind of know-how and being able to actually like shut off a few chances was
Wendell, you did me a solid, making sure. they've been doing a bit too much.
To be honest, I've never seen anyone play Saka like that in terms of...
Saka had that one chance at the very start.
You know who does pretty well against Saka? Mitchell from Crystal Palace.
And Gomez. Joe Gomez as well.
Mitchell.
Terry Mitchell, the left back.
No, he usually does all right against him. Does his thing, man.
I think Gomez done more against Saka.
Do you think that's to do with the aggressive nature of the way they're approaching the game, or is it
they didn't let us have any in that right half space. They didn't allow for anything. We didn't have a sniff. They didn't let us combine once.
And I think
I haven't looked at the stats. How many times do you think Odegaard and Saka exchanged passes over the fucking two legs? We couldn't combine once.
There was a lot of times.
The triangle of
when
White, that is
myth.
Yeah.
It's usually like automation. And I think maybe that's something that Saka, and with one thing I've learned about Saka since he touched base as a 17-year-old to now, that he always improves. Mm-hmm. And you know, people always believe players improve. It's not always linear. And I think the next phase in his development, because I think he's a top player. Mm-hmm. You have some players that are like wide players, that's like the Salah, Ronaldo, where their thing is mainly goals. Mm-hmm. And then you have like maybe the 1v1 guys like Zaha. Then you have like the kind of like creative mavericks like Neymar, Hazard. I think Saka's like almost like an all-rounder. He could do like a bit of everything.
Mm.
What I think Saka kind of, that will take Saka to another level is if he could get that aggressive 1v1 type play. Because he's so used to combining, I'm pretty sure that's probably a style of play thing. I think sometimes he could be, especially when the games are a lot tighter with what Porto are doing, be more, and obviously you have to execute. You can't just be aggressive and not be able to beat a player.
Yeah.
But I think that could definitely take it, because we've seen it on occasion when he does go past a player, like who did you play where you packed him in? Sheffield United, they even had to hook somebody, and they brought on they brought on some nitty to come up. And Saka flocked him as well, bro.
Yeah. He flocked. Austin Trusty, our old player.
Yeah. So
okay, interesting.
Yeah, so I think that's the next step for Saka to take him.
I think he tried. I think Wendell just literally he had nothing for him.
Mm.
Nothing for him 1v1.
And I got a game.
But that happens.
It happens even to the best of them.
For sure.
You can't play amazing every week.
It's even then it's been because of responsibility of your teammates to fill in for you there and actually take some responsibility on the other side of that Trossard. But obviously,
speaking of, as much as I like to go back and forth with my Arsenal friends on social media, we got to speak about Odegaard, bro.
Yeah. I was literally going to say, that games like that, they rise up.
That assist is so mad.
Yeah.
Because the way I like to look at football, the way I like to see things, is like, think of where the ball initially met the player and think that this ended up in the goal. Because the ball was like almost a 50-50 ball in the centre of the pitch.
Mm.
Sidesteps a player. If that's Bruno Fernandes, the ball's already gone. Sidesteps a player. And then a couple touches to evade a player, and then perfect weight of pass. And obviously, Trossard, he's so excellent in the final.
Yeah, thread. Finishing wise.
Brilliant finish. But and what my other thing is, because I was like moving stuff around in my living room, and I just saw the final pass. Oh, that's a dope goal.
Then once you see the movement.
Then I saw the replay. I was like, wait, he did all that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I think somebody tweeted, or somebody put in one of our group chats that for the DBZ headset, Odegaard plays like he's got ultra instincts.
Yeah.
And it's like his brain is moving at a different frequency.
Is that what I said earlier? The best players, it looks like they've got extra seconds on the ball.
Literally. Bro, and even the way he even looks like he's sped up. I know the voice that you could play at 1.5. That's how he plays. Like all his movements, he's turning left, he's turning right. And it may look to be like he's not doing anything, but he's waiting for a space to open.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we're so lucky to have this guy. But 30 M's bargain. Literally robbed Real Madrid. But exactly that. In terms of like when he's creating a space, he's always manipulating the ball. Mm-hmm. So he's just moving it left, right.
Yep.
Just inches. And like he'll have so many touches, inches, and then he'll find an opening. But Odegaard, and a lot of people were saying, he's a bad captain. He don't turn up on away days. Blah 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 blah. It's the same problem with Ozil. When we were shit, what do you expect Ozil to do half the time when he's getting bullied by City and Liverpool and getting overrun?
Man to do 25% possession. Bro,
never touching the football. Yeah. But when as the team has got better, you're seeing Odegaard become more dominant, and because we have more of the ball, he presses like a demon. I've never seen someone cover so much ground at such high intensity. The amount of sprints he gets through, he wins the ball back so much. And in my opinion, he's probably the most intelligent player I've seen in my team, Bart Ozil, in the Emirates era. He's the brain of our team. He leads the press. He tells everyone what to do. Everyone where
you
to go.
You can see, as he's running, you can see him.
Yeah, pointing. Yeah.
He is
the
guy.
He always knows what's going on.
Mentally, he's the guy in terms of a tactical perspective. In terms of an effort perspective, in terms of a ball winning perspective, and in terms of a creative perspective, we are so lucky to have him. He's top.
Do you know what also was very interesting? And you were articulating this to me earlier, that Arteta, initially towards the end of last season and early this season, he kind of changed his role, and that's why Odegaard was getting a lot of goals, where he was high up the pitch, and he's got a very good left foot. So if you get Odegaard right at the edge of the box,
he's our best finisher.
Yeah, he's got to pack the keeper, bro. Yeah. He got, 15 non-penalty goals last year. That's very not a small impressive. Feat. Wouldn't think of a playmaker like Odegaard and associate with that high level of goals. But I thought that in the early parts of the season, when all your underlying metrics were low, and we watched you were controlling the whole game, don't get me wrong, you've been controlling it, but you didn't have the same sparkle as last season.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was obviously missing players like Partey and Zinchenko in the early phases, and obviously playing habits in midfield is probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
But also the fact that Odegaard wasn't as involved, and the moment he started to drop a bit deeper, like literally since like maybe November.
He became the second of
In my humble opinion, you can argue that he's been the best player in the Premier League.
100%. I agree.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? I agree. So, he's a special player. I just wanted to make sure we shout out players like that because man loved his GNA type stuff.
Yeah.
The game's gone, but he is spectacular.
But fantastic. To be honest, I think as well, it was barn door obvious from the second he's been at the club, even though people say he didn't perform very well. Mm-hmm. I think the talent and what we had on our hands was really obvious, and I don't know how people didn't see it.
This is why I get angry when we have debates about players, when people like, because that's how I rate a player, he plays bad. I'm like, players are going to play bad, especially young players. 100%. Just tell me if you don't think the guy's good.
Exactly.
Because it's very easy to say, player on form is good, player off form is bad.
Yeah.
It's very easy. We don't need to talk about football again.
There's never been analysis.
We don't have to talk about football again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Odegaard, you can see the skill set, the talent.
From the second.
And also, football fans need to understand this. The only people that can carry their teams are the people that score goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're a playmaker or midfielder, like, you can't literally whip, like, something like Odegaard, he has to be able to combine with people. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you're getting absolutely pammed, Odegaard can't do anything. He needs the ball. Whereas a team that's getting pammed, if you have like Harry Kane, for example, all it takes is one corner or a shot. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's why you should only expect the goal scorers to carry your team if you're a substandard team. But also you start to see the very good teams like KDB and Rodri are very influential of how City are. Odegaard, I think, in my opinion, Odegaard is their most important player.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
obviously. I agree. I think
some people say Saka, some people say Saliba, some people say Gabriel, some people say Declan Rice now. Last season, some people said Partey and Gabriel Jesus, but in my opinion, maybe it's just my bias to genius-type football players. I think Odegaard
is always. I've always had him in the top two.
Yeah.
I've always had him
in the top two. I think Odegaard is a genius, and I think that the Premier League is fortunate to have him. So my next question.
And those are the kind of players you want to have in the league as well.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully he goes back to Madrid. my next question to you, you've got the draw of Bayern Munich.
Yep.
Yeah? How are you feeling? Do you think you got something for them?
I feel like it'll be a tight game. I feel like in the Champions League, as I was saying to these guys earlier, a lot of it's about know-how and experience, and that is important. And I know people say different team, legacy, but you see how nervous everyone was who hasn't played in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
That matters. The thing is, when I've seen Bayern this season, and I've only watched a couple of games, they don't look brilliant. And I'm literally rubbing my hands at the prospect of an Eric Dier and De Ligt centre-back pairing because I feel like they can be spun out of their socks.
Facts.
But it's a Champions League. It's going to be a tussle. I'm not worried about the game because at the end of the day, and you know me, I didn't think we'd win the Champions League. I'm enjoying the ride. Me, I wanted the cash. So I was happy that we went through.
And I saw the spreadsheet off.
Yeah. I had my spreadsheet up after 90 minutes. I think, yes, good. The next rounds, next couple of rounds, it is what it is, if it happens. I'm a bit worried about the fixture congestion and where it falls and the fatigue and stuff like that. So it really, really depends on how fresh we are. But I feel like it'll be a tight game either way, but I definitely think we can do them. I'm not concerned about it.
Yeah, I haven't watched Bayern extensively. I've only watched in the Champions League, and I've not been impressed. And obviously, a lot of things I've been reading, Tuchel's not exactly putting up trees. I think they've got guys who are quite liable for a madness at the back, from Upamecano to De Ligt.
Literally, every single one of the defenders is a crazy trio.
Obviously, they've got firepower though.
Yeah.
I think Musiala is
incredible footballer.
And I know Harry Kane has something devious.
Do you know who hasn't been good? And I'm quite surprised. Sané, apparently, for Madrid.
For
Munich, 5 months without scoring.
The most overrated brother of all time.
I thought he was at
least... The guy literally has coasted since he's been at City, got to Bayern Munich. And he's just got internal ratings. I don't understand how.
He's not bad, man.
No, he's got so much ability. But in terms of performance level,
his reputation
and his performance, they do not match at all, in my opinion. But again, I hope he's got something for them, man. Anyway, so let's move on. What do you guys think of the draw? Do you think early predictions? Bayern, Arsenal, who are you taking?
I think it's so hard. I need to see what the teams are going to look like in terms of fitness wise. So it might be injuries, but in terms of like matchups, I think it'll be very interesting to see like how, like, for instance, Musiala is being dealt with. So obviously, you know, you guys are going to probably play Jorginho, Rice, and then Odegaard midfield. So it's going to be very interesting to see like how that matchup is going to be in particular.
Hey, Basmati, hey, my boy, Musiala's got something for you, boy.
I see what Musiala could
do. I've seen the comps as well, and I was like, what? Musiala's bought you that many times and done that to you that many times? Like, really?
I never just that, but I feel like even with Sané, right, I agree. He's obviously had this five-month period where he hasn't scored goals, but even within that, he's had games where he's creating chances, so he's still got that ability to create. Mm. So that's going to be another dangerous outlet.
I need Zinchenko back in the side, bruv.
Same.
It's going to be a danger. And the thing I would always say, you always say bad is they have so much firepower.
Yeah, no, bro. That guy's
all fit. I think we're going to go Tomiyasu, or if Tomiyasu's fit, or Kivio.
Yeah. It's tough because Bayern, they have so much firepower, and then you got Tuchel as well. Even though he's not the best tactically knockout football, His try record speaks for itself. Like he's done a great job, obviously, at Chelsea. Last season wasn't the best, but it'll be an interesting game.
I know you Chelsea boys love your boy Tuchel, yeah? But I don't know about my man.
Tactically, Arteta's had the better of him a couple of games, so it'll be very, very interesting. But right now, I can't honestly say I know where it's going to go. To give a prediction.
I think Arsenal got something for them.
I
could just see Arsenal beating them like 3-1 at Emirates.
I think the opposite. The Arsenal will probably... if at worst, we'll lose 3-1 at the Allianz Arena and then probably like a 2-0 or something like that at the Emirates.
The benefit that we have is like they've got their fans banned.
Yeah.
So we're going to have 100% fans.
Fans are banned?
Yeah, because they threw like pyrotechnics on against them. The Lazio.
When they go, it's the champion. Yeah, that's these Arsenal fans going to be. These fans are going to get cooked, man. I'm sorry. Even the United game, that was pure fan base.
But if we don't go up with a 2-goal lead in the first leg, it could be sticky.
Yeah,
it could be very sticky.
I just need that Gabriel red card for 3 minutes, man.
Listen, don't talk about my boy, man. Yeah. Everyone's been rubbishing my boy, and I've been telling them for time.
I think it'll be a good game tactically.
Yeah, it will be.
I think it'll definitely be a good game.
Tuchel's an interesting coach.
Well, I do Tuchel. I can't lie. I don't
really Tuchel, bro. You've been divorced for a time now. You need to rise it, fam.
No. Tuchel's an interesting guy tactically. I think it'll be very, very. I think it'll be a tussle. It'll definitely be a tussle.
Okay, cool. Anyway, I wanted to talk a bit about the England squad. I'm not sure if any of you have seen it.
Yes, I did, unfortunately.
First of all, first question. Do you think Maynard should be included in the England squad?
Yes. These are the times you're going to have to have a look at them. You need to have a look at these guys, see what they're bringing. You've got Euros coming. You've got someone who's playing well. He's English. Have a look at him.
Facts. If it was me, I'd play him, but knowing what Southgate is capable of, I'm not surprised he didn't make it.
The only reason I say no is because I still think he can do with a bit more time in the under 21s or under 18s or wherever he is.
Why?
The reason I say is
that the best youth players, they don't spend that much time in under 21s. Saka didn't spend that. He's been Bellingham.
The reason I do say yes though is because look at who he's actually man picked Jordan Henderson. Like,
this is what I'm saying.
Why is the problem?
Why? Like a player like Maine who's actually performed well this year, even if it's not Maine, Barkley.
Yeah, I can say even Barkley, he deserves
Connor Gallagher not being there is a crime.
I agree.
Barkley not being there is a crime.
I think he's been one of the best people.
Connor Gallagher I can kind of understand.
But I don't understand it because he's gonna play him in the 10 where you've already got Bellingham, you've already got Foden.
He's not gonna play Connor Gallagher in the 10. Is that what he does?
I wouldn't be surprised if he plays him as the most advanced.
Because I know he loves to play Madison left. If he plays Conor Gallagher, anyway, let me not get angry. But yeah, I do think I would have liked to see Maino in the squad because I think England don't really have that profile of player. Agreed. Or ability of that player. And if you're going to pick people like Henderson and Conor Gallagher, I think that's a bit nuts. My other people were asking, think they believe that Ruben Loftus-Cheek should have been in. I haven't kept up with Serie A.
I've watched a few of the AC Milan games. I'm a fan of a couple of players, and I think he's done a good job. He's been brilliant this season. Would I have picked him above some of the guys there? So you got Palmer there already. You got Foden there.
No, but they've all been designated as attackers.
Oh, really?
There's like five midfielders, like 20 attackers.
And the thing I would say with Ruben is he's been playing in a more attacking role. So he's playing as a number 10 rather than... He's not playing as a centre mid. There's so much competition.
Yeah, Foden, Bellingham. You know, Bellingham's got that unlocked. Then there's Foden. Then there's Maddison.
Exactly. Then there's, and that's the position he's been playing this season. He's been playing in that advanced role. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do we care about international period?
I watched
Eze to make the squad, but he's just got to play for Nigeria. I use international period as a time just to
relax.
I really can't stand international football.
I think it's really disappointing that Barkley didn't even get like a...
I think Southgate, he's just not consistent with his philosophy.
No.
Do you not care about the Ben White thing?
I care because I think Southgate's a prick. And I feel that he's thrown a kid under the bus, and he knows what the media are like to try and take the heat off him and himself. You should have just said nothing.
Yeah.
You could have easily just said nothing. And I feel that the club, Arsenal, are not happy about it. Mm. And I feel that there is a reason that they announced
the contract
on that same day and time. Mm. We never do videos for contract renewals. Mm. There's a reason we did a contract saying about Ben White's character and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So...
I like that.
A brilliant play.
The club.
I saw fans dunking on it. I haven't watched the video. I didn't really care. I don't know why. I generally don't understand why fans do that type of stuff.
Football fans are weird.
Yeah.
A man signed a new contract. This is great.
Why is he so arrogant?
But it is annoying. I mean, the thing is, people are going to have different views, right? So I'm not sure have you all heard the story of what happened?
He had an issue with one of Southgate's guys.
So apparently what happened, allegedly, Ben White was pissed off that he is not starting or not playing because he thinks his favouritism. He thinks he's playing better than a lot of players, i.e. Maguire, probably, etc. And he's being used in training as a cone, basically. Whoa. Like, just not a cone, just an extra man, all that kind of stuff. So, and then he wasn't putting in effort, and then Steve Holland pulled him out for not putting in effort or whatever. And then said something about him saying that he don't like football, he don't watch football and stuff, he's not passionate.
Oh, okay.
So then he's kicked off. Then he's kicked off, and then they've had an argument, and he said, if you're not going to play me, I'm going to go. And then he obviously left the camp.
I don't even watch football like that, bro. I don't even have to be here.
I'm on Ben White's side. And I think I actually really rate Ben White as a player. And I think he's played at a very good level. And I think he should be in the England squad. Really cheap if it was me. My centre-backs are a mixture of Braithwaite, Ben White and Stones.
Yep.
I'm not playing Maguire. Maguire doesn't even play.
Don't you think...
Maguire hasn't had a good season since Leicester.
But don't you think he plays very well for England, though?
He actually has played well for England.
That's the only grace that I give Maguire, because normally I'd be really angry at someone like Maguire who consistently plays for England.
But so has Sterling, but you don't pick Sterling.
But you've
got to be consistent.
Sterling, when was the last time Sterling played well for England, though?
It's been a while.
World Cup, he wasn't that good, man.
I can't remember. Euros, was England's best player.
Yeah. And that was a couple of years ago.
If it's a thing where, to be fair, there's bad competition in Sterling.
And to be fair, with Southgate and with Maguire, I'm like, okay, like for you, he plays well. Like from what you see, he plays very well, actually. But with someone like Ben White, I'm on his side because as a man, you shouldn't just be like getting onto someone like that. And he seems a bit like a...
Do you think Ben White is almost a victim of his own success? In fact, he's playing so well at right back, they're not considering him as a centre-back.
Maybe. But
I think as a coach, you should know better.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because, bro, like, bro, look at AFCON. Man are playing right back for the clubs, are playing up front for the...
this position thing, I bet if you talk to us, he doesn't really care about these positions because you've got to look at the roles Ben White's doing.
It's always roles
on
the position.
Ben White is playing as a right back. But to be honest, this is why I rate him so much. I mean, he's not exceptional at anything, but he's playing three roles at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing as a tucked in centre back at times. even because of the ball. He's playing in midfield at the times, and in, he's the sixth man in our attack, the late sixth man when you've got the five man attack. He's the late sixth man. He's playing on the outside. He's playing on the inside. He's got so much versatility to his game.
And sorry to cut you, but this is good versatility.
Yeah, good thing.
Because though some people say other men are versatile, but the only thing is they're just playing mid in better different positions. Yeah, he's actually playing at a very good level in very different roles.
And he's extremely important for us. So, he could easily play as a centre back. He could easily play as a right back. And the thing is, if you're playing international football, don't you want someone who could play all of these positions?
It bemuses me. So I think it's quick.
But I think he obviously, and on his end, he just thinks they're just going to play their guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just here. Like, why aren't I on a holiday with my family and stuff? If he's just going to play Maguire, and I went to Euros. They didn't play me 1 minute. I didn't even touch warm up pitch. I went to World Cup. They didn't play me 1 minute, and they're using me for a cone in training. What's the point?
I'm with him 100%. Okay. Anyway, we signed with you, Benjamin White. Anyway, let's wrap up with awards and listeners' questions. So, first award, who's under surveillance this week?
Gakpo.
Oh, you didn't even wait, nah. Why is Gakpo under surveillance, brother?
Shit. I'll be honest, like, I can't lie. I've got to the point now where that's what I'm calling. I'm not seeing a lot from him. He's just not a very good player at the moment and hasn't been for a very long time.
I agree. That guy stinks. Okay, Babs, who's under surveillance for you?
Yves Bissouma. I think
fair.
Since the beginning of the season, started very, very well, but since that Luton game away where he got sent off, I think he's just been below his standards and I don't think he's been good at all.
Moises Caicedo. He needs to step up. In terms of, I know you're in a dysfunctional team, but individually, you need to stop doing some shit things, man. You need to step up.
I said a couple of pods ago, I think he might have a twin brother. I think he might just be a Panama. with just bare jars, just living life. While his twins out here, his twin was probably playing for Estudiantes or something. He's playing at Chelsea. Wow.
Hey, boys. Real
Caicedo is just balling out in Panama, bro, with a couple jars, Lamborghinis, and that. Because this brother,
nah, it's definitely.
For me, who's under surveillance is Bissouma, and I'm a big fan of his. But I watch Spurs quite a lot, and one thing that was Spurs were really good at was the transitioning from the ball from the first phase into the, and he was so key of that.
Yeah.
He's either ghost or just turning.
Well, he's making so many mistakes.
It's actually quite disgusting. Okay, who's the star of the week?
Star of the week.
Are we going back to the Champions League games?
Yeah, we can.
Oh God!
You know what?
I'm sorry. That's crazy. He was crazy.
I'm going to give it to Muniz from Fulham. Okay. I think he crashed on Spurs.
Yeah, he actually did. He crashed on Spurs. Great first goal. Such a great finish as well. Yeah.
Star of the week. You know, I've got two in my mind. Two lone boys. I think Omari Hutchinson, what he's been doing at Ipswich under McKenna, been really impressed, especially just after the season. But I'm being so for real. And the other one, Dacho Fofana, you know, he's having a good loan at Burnley.
Just Chessy, our proper you just boost your stocks for underrated. I'm making sure Dan does not allow your stocks to jump.
Dude, you know what? I don't even have stocks in them on underrated. I'm just giving them praise because they've done well.
I know you've got trading or something. Something's going on.
No, but Fofana, he's doing his thing. And the
goal he scored yesterday, looks good. Quality.
The goal against West Ham as a man as well.
Yeah, the strike was really good. Yeah.
Do you think he's got the minerals?
Fofana,
he looks good. I mean, like,
do you know what's so interesting? I feel like his ability is there, but I feel like he just has like a couple things that he just needs to like iron out. So for instance, like a couple extra touches sometimes. His willingness to make certain runs, but I think,
how old is he?
Ability, like, he's like 21.
Oh yeah. Bad.
But ability, like the way, I think one thing for me with strikers that you see from a young age is ball striking. That guy's ball striking.
That's why I don't F with Garnacho. He can't create separation and he's ball striking his pants.
Because
even McTominay's goal, bro, 1v1, you're 6 yards out. For fun, that's a good shout.
Yeah.
I've got two stars of the week. I've got my official star, which is obviously Odegaard, because come on, man, the beautiful game. And obviously my boy, Ahmad. My boy Ahmad. You know what I'm saying? Pure dog. Ramadan fasting. 5'1".
And you know what? I'll give to Ahmad as well. Yeah, it's not easy coming out of being frozen out for a while and coming in and having an impact. So
very good goal.
Yeah.
So he gets a star of just off the show for scoring, and also because man, they'll give it to me in the group chat, saying we're going to be watching your boy Ahmad. Obviously. Odegaard, come on, man.
Yeah.
And Arsenal fans have been dunking on me because I said Madison's better. And I stand on that. I stand
on what I've always said, that they're different levels.
You didn't always say that.
No, I did.
No, you didn't. Yes, I did. You said him, Bernardo, and Madison are all similar levels. And I'm gonna, when I have time, I'm gonna find it.
No.
Anyway,
we're gonna beef about this later.
We'll beef about this. Anyway, let's do some listeners' questions, right? So dated Oxes. Who won the
Saudi awards?
Huh?
Saudi.
Oh, yeah. Sterling.
It's so funny because this is her question was, who on the pod will pay for Bruno to go to Saudi? Me, I'm not gonna lie.
We need him here.
I will actually do like, do you know them charity things where people run all for a Sahara Desert? I will take Bruno myself to Saudi. As long as when I get to rehab, they've got a couple, do you know what I'm saying, for me? You know what I'm saying? A couple bags of gold or AP and that, I'll take him there. Saudi bound. Who's Saudi bound for you?
Sterling.
Yeah.
And do you know what I'll say as well, yeah? I don't know if you saw the news, Todd Boehly had a quick trip to Saudi, spoke with Michael Minardo about a couple of deals. He's got something cooking there, so.
Chilwell, yeah, Sterling.
I was gonna say, he's another one, man.
A couple, man.
After this last injury, he looks absolutely just finished.
But how is Chelsea going to recover, man?
In what way?
Financially, because how are you going to go and spend again on what you need to...
I guess is that thing of like, under the whole pre-approved thing with like a Gallagher, for instance, you're selling him, you're not, there's no value profit against him, and obviously Chalabov, and there's a couple of other players. But
who's Saudi fan for you?
Oh, Gakpo.
Oh, you said Gakpo.
Saudi fan.
Who's Saudi fan for me?
Al Nazir, Al Hilal, please hear my cries. Get this guy out of here, bro. I swear.
Oh, mate, who's Saudi fan for me?
My star of the week, Kudus.
That goal celebration. Oh my God, crazy. 40 million.
Crazy.
In fact, Saudi bound, Erik ten Hag. How did you go to Ajax with 100, and let me do the maths, 150 odd million pounds. You left with a 5'1" centre back, who's my dog, but you're 5'1". And then I see Spurs go sign Van de Ven. Now I'm looking at my guy like, maybe you should play DM. And Anthony, even though you did your little thing today, but it's FA Cup, so your Premier League goals and assists is still 0-0. And here comes, I get Kudus.
But he wasn't really playing Kudus.
I thought I wanted Kudus, man. I think it was a no-brainer.
Me and Mies were on that. Like, we probably.
I remember, wanted, yeah, Mies, me and Mies was, yeah.
That goal for okay, it, ball cool. striking, but yeah.
Jeffrey Deontay asks, does Tobe still think Rice doesn't get into the Spurs team? Tobes has recanted that.
And to be fair, Tobes, he recanted that pretty early as well.
He did. And to be fair, Tobes is a fan of Rice before most Arsenal fans. With Spurs, Alex Perez asks, with Spurs being Spurs and you and I never getting a top four finish, what chances United squeezing the top four?
I think you might can get it.
No, we're not.
How many points are you guys off?
We are.
I think you might get top five.
We're 6 points. Yeah. We're not getting top five. We're 6 points off Spurs. Mm. Yeah. With a significantly worse goal difference, so effectively 7 points.
Do you have a game in hand over them?
No.
I'm praying for it still.
I need it.
Yeah.
If I know Ten Hag is definitely going, then I need
it. You'll take it.
Because I need the money for the rehab. But if it will guarantee Ten Hag another year, I don't want it. Yoko Abs asks, we all know fatigue can lead to bad decision making. Are we seeing Liverpool close to their breaking point because their decision
No!
Let me open this guy's profile. 99% Arsenal propaganda.
And this is what I'm saying. Everyone keeps brushing Liverpool. It's fucking annoying me. When I came to the pod at the beginning of the season, people were brushing Liverpool, talking about Arsenal City. I said, do not brush Liverpool out of this title race. You fucking stupid.
It's true.
Like, you could see the potency in their attack. You could see this. Now everyone's like, Liverpool going to fall off. Why are they going to fall off?
Yeah.
What reason? There is no rationale.
There actually isn't none.
None.
Because one of these motherfuckers has got to score.
Yeah.
If it's on Jota, McAllister will score. Salah scoring regardless.
Yeah.
Trent has never touched bases. Even once Trent's come back, Trent's going to be whipping up some devious crosses. Because you know he's down 500 crosses right now.
Klopp is putting no face man plug and play in the defence. And who we have never seen in our lives.
Big man team, I need to know where Klopp is finding these boys. These are not real boys.
This is
actual bribery.
Conor Bradley. Kwanzaa was highly rated.
Kwanzaa is not a real person.
That is a Dr. Umar creation. I've never heard of Kwanzaa.
Bro, they got Trent, and they used Trent's
Conor
Bradley.
Who was in the bread that you bought on today?
Clark. But Bobby Clark.
That's what I'm saying. And they're still winning games.
This is why I'm getting mad, because they're doing it blatantly in front of our faces. They're giving us blatant
regen names.
You know one of them is going to go for like 15 million.
Bro, they, oh, somebody, you bro know. Every year they sell a guy who doesn't exist for to 15 million guys.
A random team.
I know Klopp, yeah, got these some defense German doctors cooking up the maddest. But
this is
clones,
what
bro.
I'm saying. There is no way. People saying, oh yeah, Liverpool going to fall off. They're playing at the edge. There is no evidence for any of this. I hate seeing it. It's pissing me off.
When I'm seeing Diaz not activating steps, nah, it's gone.
And also, we've still got a few players to come back.
Like, yeah, people talk about, crazy. Trent ain't about, Konate ain't about. Come on.
Yeah. Even me, Alhamaz, I haven't been impressed with them. But what they've shown is an ability
to win.
This is Liverpool.
They have an ability to win,
because their midfield area.
Yeah.
Defensively, they are so fucking good. Yep. They're so good, it's ridiculous.
Individually on 1v1, not as a team, but it's because they've got fantastic individual
defenders. If you watch how they defend transitions, is when they got their full team, is usually brilliant. And in attack, they are just on smoke.
I'm not sure they defend transitions brilliantly in terms of as a team. It's just that they're as individuals, they're like, come past me.
And with that question and that belief, I feel like, especially Liverpool this season, people try to look at games in isolation too much.
Yeah.
They see games like today where we give up loads of chances. And to be fair, there's been quite a few games we give up loads of chances. But in terms of the process and the results that we're getting, you just can't ignore it. Like, we've had games like this where, yes, we give up chances, but at the end, we end up leaving with something.
You have 16.
And also, you don't have better drillers in opposition.
I think with Arsenal fans especially, like, they're used to a game where they have control. And for them, yes, that's where
this is a new thing.
Team will
it's
be.
Only
like,
a new thing.
You have control of the game. Like, this is how you're supposed to win. But if that ends up like winning you the title, cool. You can say that's the way that you're supposed to.
This is actually a proper word to Nat Turner. It's a dog fight. Okay, so Jim Murgo, aka Count Dracula Ox, can you rank the respective touchdown groups in terms of football IQ? I think Touchy Gunners are number one.
I put Tiki.
Even though there's Leroy one. Clones.
I think I put Chessy number two. I think I put Chessy number two. a lot of the guys that you won't see, like, first, like Jerry, if you listen to our post, like, his football IQs are brilliant. Timpson, really intelligent. Shemi.
So you're bringing no name man in, like,
no, but what's about I'm trying to give them their props, like Shemi, brilliant as well. Even like Leeds and Dan, they're brilliant. I'm saying, like, obviously, because like we're like the main ones that come on the pod.
No, to be fair, you're actually right. You actually got guys, okay. Cop Pen are definitely number five. Guaranteed.
You know what? I'll give you, we got art, mate. That's what we got.
No, you guys ain't above Mugga.
I think we're above Mugga.
I'll put Mugga. To be honest,
you guys are top.
You know what? It's true, because we're not even here for that tactical stuff. We're just here for office entertainment. Because there's no point.
They're just sitting there hating their hearts.
We did the tactical stuff time ago, bro. We are just here for pure entertainment.
All here for is Mariah's
fucking hell. These men are shit.
I'm so sad because I'm seeing United fans. I don't know what's changed. No. They're getting excited by laptop nerds. This is our thing. Yeah. Laptop nerds are joining
the United thing. Is normally it's the passion.
I'm seeing backroom staff, analysts.
Taking pictures
Seb is dropping analysts in the group chat.
Our take is passion and transfer season. Yeah?
He is dropping analysts in the group chat. The game is gone.
You're not allowing Seb to do this is actually mad.
The him to manage the thing, that was crazy. Eric Tom. But you know, I'll never forget, as a listener, I used to be a listener, Woody season. I will never forget that.
I'm telling you, the best day of my life is when deadline day we got Falcao out. Me and Mariah, we were moving mad. What? Me and Mariah, we were so gassed.
Oh my god, man.
That's as good as it's got. That is literally the best day of my life post Fergie.
God, yeah.
I'm over joking. It's a Falcao day.
Woody back.
Oh my god, yeah.
Woody season.
Oh, Woody season. God, oh, come
that
on,
was
man.
Hilarious.
Come on.
Ed Books, man.
Ed Dollar Sign.
Di Maria. Paul Pogba, look who we're getting now.
Your transfer windows were very spooky.
Mason Mount.
Amrabat on loan. A 10 million loan fee.
Bro.
Crazy.
Amrabat.
Crazy.
And it's so crazy that he didn't even play him today. Bro,
and
that's your only natural DM.
Elneny would change their life. I'm absolutely convinced.
He's another changing as well.
My brother, with the blood, in the streets in Gaza, this is the light you're coming to say to Ramadan. Now, Nelly,
I swear, if I ever saw an elite for a team, wallahi, God's trap now, I'm like, I'm taking up baseball. I'm tired of these mid-pack players, bro. I actually can't do it. An elite would man ask you why I hate Man United. And it's probably true, because an elite can actually retain the ball, move around a bit.
Bro, I'm telling you.
Amrabat comes, I look at that one, overweight uncle, bro.
I ain't seen a line breaking from deep for Man United in, God, in years.
This is what I told, man, that when Pogba goes, you'll see. Also, quick note. Did you not see what Eriksen was doing when he came on?
Oh my God.
He was hoofing it.
Eriksen plays like an NFL punter.
He was just hoofing it.
Even before he said that, I just said he was just hoofing it.
Every time he got the ball went 60 yards. Oh my mama.
It was crazy. Eriksen can't be playing football, though.
The pass for Rashford was good, though. I'll give him that.
It was offside.
Yeah.
Okay, Frank Poodle asks, how much advantage does playing at home give you? Because looking at 50% boost, United couldn't kick a ball at Anfield but punch up the same team today.
It's a big thing.
I think it's a massive thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Brands asks, which is Live Love Brands, with Bruno's possibility being out of the side due to injury, how do you see Ten Hag changing things around?
He's not injured. He'll be back.
I've had this fantasy. I've been praying for Bruno ACL/Achilles.
And the thing is, just going to get Eriksen then.
In fact, he was only acting injured today, so he can probably come off because it was getting hot. Like he's gonna play the next game.
Bruno was bad today, you know. I don't think it was about today.
He's getting dragged
about. Decent game.
I can't lie. He's getting dragged about today.
Yeah.
I don't. Because of time, I'm over on getting to that. Like Mike 196, last minute daggers are the best thing in football. What are some of the best ones? I'll think of some of the ones that I hated. Welbeck against Leicester.
Oh, I love that.
That was gassy. That was gassy.
I loved it.
Hazard against Spurs for Leicester won the league, obviously. Yeah.
Oh,
when he's like cold it.
I will not lie, yeah. The Morata, was that last minutes? Anfield.
That was top five generational hate watches.
Beef and having a celebration.
Hate watches of all time.
I'm not gonna lie, Lucas Moura at Ajax. That was
or the Champions League.
As a United fan, there's two that comes to mind. Makeda against Aston Villa, because that was deep in the title race. We were playing so dead. We started bringing on all these whack Welbeck, Makeda, and now she got Savic against Aston Villa. Martial in the semi-final FA Cup. Oh, I was so gas.
I think I said Liverpool one.
No, that wasn't the buzzer beater. We were already winning 2-1.
We've had quite a few recently. Like the last minute, the Bournemouth.
Declan Rice.
Deckers.
Has a couple.
And that lanky bastard that used to play for Chelsea. Had a couple
of Reece Nelson last year?
Yeah, that one was peak. I think I fainted.
Seb in the group chat said today that when Ahmad scored, yeah, he did a knee slide in his kitchen. and he took off his top.
And Seb is a big man.
No, Seb is too funny. Seb is too funny. Man at least had a front of the induction. Oh my God. Hey, I love Seb. And he took off his top. He's crazy.
Liverpool's had a few, had like Robertson away at Burnley, even this season, Nunes, McCall.
Do you know what peak one was? And even me, I had to salute.
Which one?
West Brom away, Alisson.
Oh yes.
That was
like, even before that, I was like, oh, what's this guy doing? Running up.
Mane at Villa. Yeah, Mane at Villa.
Mane at Everton as well. Mm. That was peak. Yeah,
did Trent have one this season?
Against Fulham.
Yeah,
that was a
problem. When he clarted it.
That one's that pissed me off.
Do you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to lie. A buzzer beater where you hate watching is peak. Literally, our first Discord we should bring back was Luton away to Arsenal. And I was chatting so much because obviously Buck is hooping. I was chatting.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Declan Rice got the header.
The Declan Rice dagger, I swear when to you God. Get a bang. Oh my God.
When you get a bang when you don't want it to happen, it hurts.
Yeah. It hurts, man.
It hurts.
Yeah. It hurts.
But certain games, when I see Liverpool down, I'm like, bro, there's no point. I know these men go score two in stoppage times. There's no point.
Yeah. No. I always bet on it. Always.
I always bet.
City, Liverpool, always bet on a comeback.
Yeah,
I've made thousands, literally thousands.
Face Next asks collectively, who are your top five candidates for player of the season, and what do each winner need to do in order to be a clear winner?
For me, I've got Odegaard, I've got Watkins, I've got. It's tough because
Saka has to be there, in my opinion.
I hear it, but I wouldn't put Saka.
In terms of player of the season,
nope.
I'll put Rice there.
I put Gabriel there.
I'm anti-defender, so I'm going to sit for
City for me is a tough one.
Rodri. Rodri suits.
Rodri suits.
I'll put either Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Or
I'm anti-defenders, but I understand Van Dijk.
I wanted to say Trent, but
yeah. But no, if it was for injury, Trent would have been in.
I'll
there.
Put Van Dijk in there.
Yeah. I would put Salah in there purely based off numbers, and especially if he can finish this.
Haaland
still scoring.
I should spit on the floor.
Haaland.
I should spit on the floor.
Haaland.
Haaland makes me sick, bro.
He's top scorer.
Numbers.
Top scorer.
But it was me. I definitely have Watkins. Like, what was that? Who
Odegaard.
Watkins, Odegaard, Gabriel. I definitely have those three there.
Mm. I'm not going to lie. Odegaard and Gabriel are the two ones that I agree from the ones you guys named so far.
Yeah, Watkins had a
unbelievable. Watkins easy dub. They told me Gabriel Jesus is.
But what he's done goals wise, and even just bringing his teammates into the game,
he is a flipping menace, bro.
Absolute menace.
Once Douglas Luiz or McGinn whips that ball down the channel,
bro, no, he's gone.
You don't want. You don't want it. I remember with Watkins.
I remember there was a point in time where Watkins, he was so unreliable in front of
goal. He was very frustrated.
He is still unreliable in front of goal. He still is. But the thing with Watkins is, what's mad about Watkins is, if you look at his numbers, his big chance conversion is still very low.
Mm.
But the thing is, one, he generates a lot of chances for himself.
Yeah.
And two, he scores goals that he probably shouldn't score as well.
Facts,
so although his big chance conversion might be low, he will get the ball down the channel, step over, cut inside, go back onto his left foot, near post, bottom corner.
Who knows? Yeah. Usually always good for a forward, man.
Yeah.
That's well.
I think it's quite difficult. I think if, gun to my head, player of the season, I think I'll... Oh, disgustingly, I think I'll go Odegaard over Rodri. I think even though I think Rodri has had probably a long, consistent stretch, I think... I always give the benefit for the offensive players.
I definitely think who's going to be first around when these awards happen.
I think when these awards come up,
I'm trying to give it to Rice.
I'm telling you, Rice and Saka are going to be in the. I think usually a six. Rice, Saka, and KDB. I promise you, KDB is going to be fucking.
He can't be.
Foden's going to be there as well. I don't think he should be.
Sorry, I don't know why. Foden's been cold this season.
Yeah. He has, but. I wouldn't put him up.
I was going to say, would you put Cole Palmer over?
I think.
Palmer, oh yeah,
Palmer's another one.
Palmer's better than Foden this season. Yeah.
Palmer is there, and I don't care that Chelsea stink.
Palmer's done his thing. He's done his thing. He's been cold.
Yeah, but it's a quite difficult one. Final. Let's come up with a question. Okay. Afs asks, Xavi or Pirlo?
Xavi.
I think Xavi's easy one. Ash Sahal asks, What is Dominic Szoboszlai good at, and why do Liverpool fans put him in team of the years after six games?
Do you know what? Yeah, I like Szoboszlai. I watched quite a bit of him at Leipzig, and I think in terms of like his ball striking is peak, his set pieces are peak, but I just don't really like the way Liverpool use him as like this dual midfielder, you know, to just like get stuck in. I feel like if he had me in the final third, you know, unlocking the defence, I think they're going to get a lot more of him, because he's going to get a lot more goals, for one. And I think he's going to be a someone that can actually unlock it in the final third.
What I liked about him when he first like started at the start of the season was he kind of fit into that genie mold where he was actually quite physical, very combative, getting into duels. And also on top of that, he had that technical ability to kind of find the right passes and make those right passes. So I think with Liverpool fans, we're definitely looking at what be the best of him and what we can get when he's at his best. But he just hasn't shown that in the last couple of months.
Agreed.
I don't think he's that deep. I was impressed with what I saw at the beginning of the season. So I think at least you know you've got something to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
Not everybody comes to the Premier League and starts cooking. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm. And he's come back from injury.
We've had players like Fabinho, Partey. Yeah, yeah. They weren't like amazing straight away, but you know, you saw as they
you see the ability. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So
he's a player there.
Even Rodri.
Yeah,
Rodri was kind of mad the first season.
They were demanding you come back up for Wash Fernandinho in the first season.
Yeah,
he was looking spooky. Like, yeah, now...
He's cold, so okay, cool. I actually quite like this question because I like all the slander ones. Where is it? Luke Tyler asks, can you name a Saudi-bound 11 from current Premier League players? So, first of all, the captain and... Player manager is Casemiro.
Player manager is Casemiro.
He's the official sponsor.
He actually is the official sponsor of Tottenham Fracas. He might even charter the plane.
Oh wow!
Goalkeeper's Ramsdale.
Man was telling Ian Wright he had ADHD.
His reaction was like, I know he called Arteta immediately. Like this can't run.
He's like, brother,
do you have any other keepers that you want to like?
Ian Wright. That is one of the funniest. Ian Wright wanted to snuff him. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Bro, in the running as well.
Ramsdale, for sure.
He's not going to Saudi. He's 25.
Bro, he can't go Saudi. You'll do a mad thing, fam. He'll be sent to 15 lashes quickly, fam. Saudi bound back four.
Cedric. I was going to put him. Yeah, that's Cedric the first right back that came to mind.
Cedric is there.
Left back, I'm putting Chilwell.
I was going to say.
Chilwell, you're going there. Thiago Silva, I think I want to put him there. I put the Sassy. You can go.
Oh, well, come on.
Thiago Silva's
retiring. That's why.
He's done. Okay.
I think he should retire. I'm going to put the Sassy there, man. I'm not being the biggest fan of him.
I'll put Varane there. I can't lie to you.
Really? I still think he has quality, man.
He needs to go. His knees are done.
His knees are done. My man said his knees are inverted.
When he gets the ball, he has a little bit of a
curl
to it.
Yeah. His knees are the only thing that invited Man United.
You can't be walking like this.
Yeah.
That's a bit crazy.
Okay, so definitely Varane. Who's going to partner Varane?
I'm trying to look across the teams.
Oh, Dan Byrne. Come on, man.
He's not Saudi.
Come on, man.
I can't see him in Saudi.
I don't give a heck, bro.
There's no pork there, bruv. I can't see man like him.
He might have to import that halal pork or something. Because he needs to go. Okay, midfield. Casemiro, of course.
Yeah, Casemiro. Casemiro is there. Casemiro is there.
Bruno. of course.
Yeah, Bruno.
I'm trying to look at the table.
I'm sorry. Faisedo, fam.
No, come on, man.
This is going to hurt my heart. Thomas Partey.
You know what?
Not fair enough.
No, do you know what? He's an amazing player, top quality. The guy can't stay fit for 2 seconds.
Fair enough.
He's got to go.
Go
collect your money.
Actually, I want to throw someone in there as well, Thiago.
Yeah.
Bro, he hasn't played so long. I forgot this guy even played football.
He played 10 minutes at the Emirates and was absolutely cooked off.
That's another dub for me, man.
10 minutes.
I'll never forget for putting him in that team of the season.
Thiago, Thomas Partey.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie, if Alcala broke up and is
I may sneakily watch that still.
Yeah, bro. 88%
possession.
That's a hoop session. 88% possession. But they can't get the ball to Casemiro, though.
No.
It just has to be Party Thiago.
You touch.
Yeah. Casemiro, I have to go centre back, steal. Okay, attack.
I'm putting Sterling there, man.
Sterling's guaranteed.
It's crazy.
It really hurts my butt.
Anthony Martial.
Oh, that's another one.
His body's finished, man.
He really gave his body up for science, man.
Yeah. Who else is Saudi bands?
Grealish.
Oh wow.
No.
I even forgot about bro.
Yeah.
I'm
putting
Jordan
Ayew.
I put Jordan Ayew there.
I'm putting Jordan Ayew there. Certain players are not even worthy of the Saudi.
Yeah. You know, I hear it.
I'm putting Gakpo there. He's more Holland bound, but.
What are you saying? Damn bounds.
Yeah, go to Hever or something.
Obvious. So we got Sterling.
We got Martial. I don't think who else?
Who's cooked like properly? Like cooked as an attacker.
Werner. Werner is despicable, bro.
That guy's crap.
You know what? Barely Spurs man needs to go Saudi.
Kulu.
Kulusevski, fucking
sucks. He's a facade. He's a facade.
Bro, I like Kulusevski. I know Kulusevski. He works at he's security at a bar. That's his job, bro. That's his job. No ID, no entry. That's his job.
Not today, boys.
That's his job. No ID, no entry. That's Kulusevski.
Oh my god, man.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. Well, we're gonna leave it there.
For sure, man.
We're gonna leave it there. Oh, I wanted to start doing predictions, but. There's no leagues, there's no games.
Yeah, international break.
Dr. Leroy, always a pleasure.
Good to see you, man.
Babs, Julian, I hope you're feeling better now.
I'm good, man.
I might need this pod after Ahmad. Until next time.
Peace.
Yo. When I spit bars in a rave, man, I go hard, last stand.
Sports Social Podcast Network.